Welcome to another episode of the Tomahawk Take Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me is Alan Carpenter.
Howdy, y'all.
And Fred Owens.
Hi there.
And guys, we are about almost one week into spring training games here, so I have a little bit to go on, but not enough yet really to make any assumptions as far as battles go, but we'll get into that a little bit. Also, obviously have some news coming out of spring training to talk about, as well as some news about the upcoming season overall that we want to discuss. But first thing I wanted to bring up was Max Fried being delayed because of COVID concerns. Apparently he's come in contact with somebody who has COVID, and so his spot in the rotation was skipped on Friday. And so, obviously, Max Fried hasn't tested positive so far. David O'Brien tweeted out, said Fried has tested negative for the virus, but Braves will be cautious with it. So that's great that he, hasn't tested positive. But obviously, we're almost 3 weeks away from the start of the season, and one of our best pitchers, is slightly delayed. I don't think it will be a huge thing as long as he's able to, start sometime next week and get three or four starts in before the regular season. Everything should be fine at this point. But, Alan, go to you first. Any concerns, on Fried and him possibly being limited to start the season as far as pitch count goes?
Well, it depends whether he actually ends up testing negative all the way through, I guess. But yeah, he, probably has been throwing on the side, throwing batting practice and such like that. So it isn't like he's been completely shut down. In fact, he could probably go ahead and continue throwing a little bit on his own somewhere. But depends how long this lasts. If the usual protocol of waiting about 3 or 4 days to make sure that he's really, truly negative holds, then it could set him back a little bit. But I don't think it's going to be a real huge deal. The trick will be whether he can get enough innings in to stretch out and to face live competition sufficiently so that he'd be ready for the opening week in April. The other part is he could just simply be put on the end of the rotation as well and not miss too much time. He doesn't have to necessarily be the opening day starter as it is. So if the diagnosis continues that as we've heard so far, then there's a lot of creative ways that they can get around that. But everybody's going to be innings limited to begin the season anyway, so I'm not terribly worried about it yet.
Yeah, you did bring up one interesting point there that I hadn't thought about yet is, the opening day starter, which, in the grand scheme of things doesn't mean a lot, but it is kind of, a ceremoniously thing to have, your opening day guy. And, with Soroka obviously likely not going to be ready for the beginning of the season, and now Fried not, those were your two top options. Could see Charlie Morton get an opening day start for the Braves, but, certainly for Fried, like I said, not a huge deal. It's not like he's injured at this point, and he is tested negative. So as long as he, is able to start sometime next week, I think he'll be fine. Like you said, he may just, not be ready right out of the gate. They may have to put him at the end of the rotation to start the season. But, Fred, I don't know exactly what the new protocols are for this, how long we have to wait, and, when we could possibly see Fried, in a spring training game.
Well, as far as I'm aware, as long as he hasn't tested positive, they're just making sure, okay? There's nothing for him, I don't think, forcing him to stay away other than the team right now. And even if he doesn't start until next week, I still think he makes opening day start. It's Alan pointed out quite correctly, we're not going to see a lot of innings of a lot of pitchers. He can be ready to do 5 innings by opening day. I'm really sure about that. And if he's not, Ian Anderson probably earned a shot at that rather than give it to Morton or Smiley or somebody. I just think the catchphrase now is abundance of caution. Out of an abundance of caution, the Braves are saying, stay in your room for a while. Okay.
Yeah.
We want to make sure this is all right. I'm not particularly worried about it. He tested negative. It's just the kind of thing that happens to Max. He gets a blister. He stubs his toe. Something happens to Max most years, but I'm not worried about that. That's the least of my concerns right now.
Yeah, and it'd be different, if he were a younger guy too that was battling for a rotation spot. Fried's an established guy at this point. So yeah, not a ton of worry there, but would like to see him get on the mound sooner rather than later. The other big news for the Braves over the past week was the extension of manager Brian Snitker through at least the 2023 season. The extension does include a club option for the 2024 season, and the, you know, Snitker is 65 years old, so almost takes him, you know, through his age 70 season. You know, I've had my questions about Snitker in the past, mainly because of the bullpen, but you know, there's no questioning his loyalty, his you know, his camaraderie with the guys and how they play for him. Fred, there's never, you know, been any questions about that, but do you feel that Snitker's the guy to carry the Braves, you know, through this contention window to possibly win a World Series?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, the other week, while I was writing my post all about that, you threw one up, and in the one I cut out of mine, I said that, you know, I've had my concerns with him both in game and with some of his player choices where he relies so heavily on his veterans. But at this point, they're three division championships behind them. The team, the players clearly love him. He clearly reciprocates that. The clubhouse is right now probably the best it's been since the mid 90s in terms of everybody being on the same page, rowing the boat the same way. And there's with Ozzy back and Ronald coming in with 10 pounds lighter but ripped, looking like, you know, Captain America coming in, it looks to me like the team is ready to go, and why would you disrupt that when it's going so well? He's got Washington there. He's got Weiss there. The pitchers apparently love Kranitz. And like having him there, and it just seems to me like it changing anything would be a horrible mistake at this point. Aside from that, I like Snit. I mean, he's a homeboy of mine. He comes from, you know, he went to school about 100 miles north of me. Of course, I went 5 years before him, but at the same point, I'm glad to see him make it this far, and he's got him here, and he's lifted them up, and he's been the guy they needed. I wouldn't change him now unless something seriously happened, and I think that option year is just arbitrary thing. He's going to be here till the end of that option year unless he decides to leave.
Yeah, no, and it's great. You know, obviously he's a Braves lifer, and I think this extension will take him through the rest of his career, you know, with the Braves, obviously. So, Alan, I certainly think that's a great thing there, and like Fred said, you know, I think the clubhouse atmosphere, you know, with the Braves right now is so great. And I think a lot of that has to do with Snitker. And a lot of times as a manager, that's really your biggest role.
Brian Snitker seems to be this generation's version of Bobby Cox, really. He is a player's manager. He has their back all the time. He is loyal to a fault. And, I mean, he knows baseball inside and out. He grew up with these guys, a lot of these guys, as he went through the minors. And there's really no reason to do anything different than just let him continue to do what he's doing, because it's obviously working. I came across an old article back when at the time that Freddy Gonzalez had gotten axed, and they were trying to figure out, okay, do we go ahead and keep Snitker in the interim position and hire him as manager, or get somebody else? And John Coppolella at the time was conducting the interviews, and Snitker comes in and says, well, thanks for making me manager, and if you don't want me to be the manager, I'm okay with that. I'll just, you know, take a demotion because I'm a Braves lifer. I'd just soon stay with the team. Okay. Then Terry Pendleton comes in and says, well, you know, you really should give Brian a chance at this. So Coppolella's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And obviously Snitker got the job. But it wasn't like everybody was like clamoring for the position. It was like they were trying to give it to somebody else.
You but, take it.
Yeah. So I'm glad to see him do it, and I'm glad to see this extension. So we've got that done. Now we need Freddie Freeman done. Maybe that'll be done tomorrow by his first game. That'd be great. But we'll see how this all goes. And I like the direction that the team is headed. And we just got to get everything together and figure out what the bench is going to look like and move forward from here.
Yeah, you bring up Freddie Freeman there, obviously set to make his debut this weekend. And, you know, we've been talking so much about that contract extension, why it hasn't been done. And maybe part of that is because, you know, Freddie Freeman's family is growing. He just, he and his wife just had the twins. So, you know, he's been pretty preoccupied, here for a while now. So, maybe now that he is, you know, in camp, maybe things settle down a little bit. Although me having a newborn, I know that doesn't exactly make things settle down once they are here. But, you know, maybe, talks will pick up, and I'm still hopeful that we get to hear that Freddie Freeman extension before the season starts. You mentioned the Mitch battles as well, Alan. I think we have a little bit to go on here after 1 week. And I don't really think you can gather too much information from the pitching side of things. You really want to see starters make two or three starts before you have any major takeaways from that. But as far as hitting goes, and as far as we're looking at the bench, I think, you know, there's a couple takeaways from me. Jake Lamb is somebody that I've you know, impressed with. Obviously, he's only played in a couple games, and I only got to see one of them, but he looks like a guy up there. You know, a big left-handed batter up there. The game that I watched, he had a really smooth stroke on a ball that he laced to the left center field gap. So, again, short sample sizes, all these are going to be, but, you know, he's somebody that, you know, has really kind of impressed me early on. And somebody that I think will be a solid bench bat there, and somebody that could push Austin Riley. And, you know, Austin Riley has had some early season success in spring training. He's 5 of 9 at the plate, but has struck out in the other four at bats where he hasn't gotten a hit, which is kind of a weird stat there. But Lamb is somebody that I've really, you know, been impressed with. Also, Adrianza is, you know, I wrote about the other day, hit a case for him making the bench. You know, I think he could even replace Johan Camargo on the bench. I think he can do everything Camargo can do, but essentially better, maybe not with much his power. But he's also, you know, a switch hitter, can play everywhere, and is going to put the ball in play. Those are two guys early on that have really stuck out to me. But Alan, go back to you. Any of the bench guys that have impressed you so far or not impressed you?
Well, I don't know that, like you suggest, it's too early to suggest that somebody's won a job yet by any means, but I mean, we've suddenly got guys coming out of the woodwork here. We've got also Jason Kipnis, and here's a guy that I frankly had whiffed on, Ryan Gaughans. He is on the team now, and I looked up and was like, wow, wait a minute, where'd he come from? And he's another infielder who can play any position and has major league experience and certainly might have a good shot at one of the bench roles too. He got signed on the 25th of February and kind of sneaked in because he's actually not showed up on the Braves transaction page either. I think we've got a lot of guys here that, got a shot, and that's good to see because, you know, we were whining and complaining bitterly through the middle of February that there wasn't enough guys on the bench or we had a bench that looked like it was going to be barren. And now all of a sudden we've got several viable possibilities and some guys are going to be left out as it turns out. So I'm going to continue to watch that, but I don't have any favorites right now. I think Lamb is probably the best bet, and I thought Kipnis might be, but now Goins is here and he probably has as good a shot as anybody and the other guys you mentioned. So we'll just have to watch and bring the popcorn.
Yep, no, absolutely. It's going to be probably the biggest thing to watch for the Braves is just how that bench fills out. I feel pretty comfortable with everything else as far as, you know, position players go and pitchers go. But, Fred, certainly the bench spots, as we've been talking about for several weeks now, is going to be the key, you know, throughout spring training, kind of figuring that out and possibly, you know, into the season, kind of figuring out what they're going to do with the bench.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking that Contreras may have a better shot at this than Ajax right now. I just think his bat is so much better that even if he's marginally less good defensively, and he's not awful, let's clear that up. If he's marginally worse defensively than Jackson, I think his bat carries him. And so I sort of think right now that maybe that's it. Now maybe Ajax comes around and turns it on, but Contreras' bat is better. Okay, there's that. I'm on the Jake Lamb train. as well. I like him on the base. He plays first. He plays third. If Riley forgets how to hit, Lamb won't. And so I think those two are in there. The interesting part for me is Johan Camargo going to do enough to stick? He had a horrible 2019. 2020 in that little spurt was there. Wasn't much better. He went to the winter leagues. He played in two different winter leagues. And he didn't hit his weight. He hit some home runs and played good third base, but he didn't hit his weight. In other words, he played like a fourth or fifth infielder. And I'm on the verge of believing that if he doesn't grab his socks and pull them up, Adrianza could take his job. And the reason I think that is because Adrianza plays, like you said, more positions. I don't think Adrianza's is better as a hitter necessarily. He doesn't have any power, and I saw the Goins note fly across somewhere, but I forgot to even look it up. And I'm not sure that he's in considerations with this. I think Adrianza, who's looked so good this, we're in the first week, but he's got that ability to play everywhere, switch hit, and he can probably steal you a base now and then. I just think he's probably the guy, if Camargo doesn't do it. And then we've got Ender. Enciarte is being Ender. He spends his whole time out in the outfield helping Pache with his routes and mentoring and trying to be the guy and trying to win his job back or win a place back so that he gets to stay and play and take part of this because he doesn't want to leave. And I like Ender as a person. I think he's a great guy. And I kind of hope he picks it up, but we have outfielders now and we have, we could put Riley out there if we need to, if somebody gets hurt and play Lamb at third. I just think that it's going to be tough, particularly for Camargo, if he doesn't hit. And I mean hit the ball hard and not get under it or over it like he's been doing the last 2 years. And that's been his issue is he's not making good contact. His timing is off. And I want Johan to succeed, but I don't think he's got that long a leash. So that's sort of where I'm at with the bench.
Yeah. No, I think kind of agree right there with you, Fred. Like I said, I think Camargo's on the chopping block a little bit. And I like Adrianza. I think he's a good viable option there on the bench. And I like what you're talking about, the catcher position there as well. I think William Contreras is the better player at this point over Alex Jackson. And that's why I had Contreras projected to be on the opening day roster, but you kind of talked me out of it because of the fact that it makes more sense for Contreras to get every day at bats in AAA. We'll see how that goes. Let's move along quickly here. We got the AAA season has been delayed. Is scheduled to be delayed, won't start until May, and we'll likely have alternate training sites where MLB teams will be able to have players that they can taxi back and forth, still be able to do that. And then also it was announced that there will be no DH or expanded postseason this year. Alan, any thoughts on either those news items right there real quickly, and then we'll get out of here.
I'm still trying to figure out how the alternate training site and a AAA season is going to work. The idea of an alternate training site is so that the guys who are most likely to get called up to the big leagues in the emergency break glass situation, that's where they get to work out and do their training, but obviously not against live competition, which is kind of weird. AAA season would be everybody else who's not in that squad that's any good, which dilutes AAA. Then you've got the rest of the leagues down below that. It's kind of weird. I'm not sure how else you can do it, though, at this point. Now, Major League Baseball has direct control over all aspects of minor league baseball at this point. They essentially ran their coup over the last year, and they've taken control of all that. And that includes the idea that they want to get all the players below the major leagues vaccinated. That works. That helps. And certainly it will help player movement back and forth, and including from the alternate site to the majors, so that you don't have to worry about quarantines if they are in fact all vaccinated. So I guess that's the idea behind all this stuff, but at the same time, it's also still disappointing that you still going to end up losing a month of the minor league season because they got to get everything in place before this is going to happen.
Yeah, and the big thing there is just because of what I read anyway is AAA players, when they travel, they fly commercially, whereas MLB players, you know, fly privately. And so they have concerns, you know, with AAA players there being commingled with us commoners and possibly picking up the virus, and then somebody gets called up, and just the potential of it spreading that way. That's what I read was the biggest reason why they want to delay and just see if the vaccine can get more out. The way I understand it is it's basically your AAA team and just those players will be at that alternate site, I guess just training. But once the AAA season actually starts in May, then they'll start playing games. So yeah, it's basically like an extended spring training for the AAA team is the way that I interpret it. But
One more aspect of this I'm going to throw in real quick. The vaccine, of course, in most cases takes two different doses that you've got to get injected over a period of 3 to 4 weeks apart. And then even after that, full potency doesn't happen for another 2 to 3 weeks afterwards. Well, that's like a month and a half. And if you want to get these guys playing by May, then you better get that vaccine program going by mid-March. And I don't know that that's really happening yet. I don't know that the distribution of vaccines and or priority lists will allow that to happen until maybe April sometime. I don't know. But there's a timing aspect that's going to be interesting to follow here to see whether they can pull off what they've got scheduled.
Yeah. And Fred, we're, you know, finally – 3 weeks before the regular season starts, and we finally have word on the DH and the expanded postseason. It looks like it's definitely not going to happen. So great to finally have that, I guess, be official. But, you know, your thoughts on the news?
Yeah, it's just terribly disappointing that we still don't know which side's got the bigger feet. This whole I won't do this unless you do that thing, this is just childish on both sides. Everybody wants this. The players want it. The managers want it. The owners want it. The only thing that's stopping them is that they're acting like three-year-old children and won't agree that they need this. And it's not even that big a bargaining chip. I mean, really? It's not. I understand now that it might inconvenience some teams because they can't get the players. But at the same time, this is not even something that should have been a bargaining chip in the first place. I mean, it's not like it's a dramatic shift in the power of one side or another, or gives something one side or another. And this whole idea that you have to have expanded playoffs if you have it is just, again, petty. And that's the way this whole thing has operated since Commissioner Manfred and Mr. Clark sat down and Manfred short-sheeted him back in 2016. Okay? Ever since then, It's just been petty and childish and pick and pick and pick and pick and pick. And I'm not taking sides here. Both sides have just been stupid. But I think it's disappointing. And disappointing is probably as pleasant a word as I can use for it. On the Contreras thing, I think that's another reason that I was sort of leaning towards him now is because they're not actually going to play AAA ball.
Yeah, true.
And he's going to get better at bats in the major league sitting next to Darno and Fasano and all those major league guys. And, you know, you can sort of a catcher who can catch can do better at the major league learning to bat just by being around people who know how. So that's sort of why I'm leaning towards him. It's not that I don't like Jackson. Jackson's more of an all or nothing guy. I just think Contreras is a better hitter. And so that's that, and this alternate site thing sort of made me flip that away.
Yeah, no, that's a great point there. I didn't think about, you know, after the news of the AAA season being delayed, you know, and if Contreras is the better catcher at this point, and I believe he is, then yeah, it makes more sense for him to break camp with the team. But yeah, I also agree with you as far as the two sides, you know, not being able to get along. Enjoy the 2021 season, because that's all we're going to hear about in the upcoming off season with the CBA negotiations. that will do it for this edition of the Tomahawk Take Podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to the Tomahawk Take Podcast wherever you get your podcast, and make sure that you check out the site, tomahawktake.com. You can see all of the writings from me and Alan and Fred and a bunch of other great writers that we have on staff there. But that will, again, do it for this week's episode. Hopefully we'll have a lot more data to go on next week and get into more detail of some of these position battles. But again, always thank you for listening. Thank you for reading on the website, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been the opening salvo of the Bench Battles edition of the Tomahawk Take Podcast, which is a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of Fred, Allen, and Jake. No, you can't blame Minute Media except for withholding their supervision. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Gold Rush. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by tomahawktake.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, and yes, you guessed it, we all agreed to shorten this episode to 7 innings today to make sure our voices are not stressed for the next outing. We'll be stretching them out come next week. See you then.